Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And yes, you recognize him, Jeff Weninger, retired LAPD commander, retired as a lieutenant about a year ago. He's also he wrote the book. You can see it in the background, On Thin Ice. More information at onthinicebook.com. He's got an announcement. They're announcing, well, I'm going to let him say it in a second. I'm going to go through the sponsors and then we'll be right back to Jeff, but he's got an announcement that he's going to be making today in just a few minutes. And he's been telling you guys he's going to make this announcement on Thursday starting this week. So I can't wait. And a shout out to our sponsors. You know, we have our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. I got their banner sitting behind me. And hey, if you guys have not tried that QR code that's on that banner, you should try that with your cell phone as well. Comply Technologies, our satellite sponsor. Thanks to them. We're on satellite radio and we are loving it. AeroPrecisionUSA.com, our arm sponsor. Gunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.life, Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. And yes, we're streaming the 1.5 million followers right now. TwoBells.com, they built our new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. FishOrlandoBass.com. I hope you guys are going to that website and giving Zach a call with Fish Orlando Bass. It is a bass fishing charter. And hey, it's in the Orlando area. So when you're going to Orlando the next time, you're taking the wife and the kids. Look, nothing is in print saying that you actually have to attend Disney with the wife and the kids and, you know, let, you know, be hugging on Mickey and all that stuff, right? So drop them off, take the foot off the brake, and go down to Fish Orlando with Zach, go on that fishing charter, or if you're feeling very adventurous, go alligator hunting, catch and release alligators. If you're man enough for it, I see Jeff smiling. I can tell he's thinking about it. It'll be a time. If Jeff goes, I want to be there and I want to be filming, kind of like with the glove. Shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying the content, Brian. And also Ray Diedrich, former lawman.com and lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make the show happen. And now I'm going to whet the appetite before we go to Jeff. But what are we going to be talking about? How, number one, not a great story, but look, it's in the news, and we're going to be getting new information out for a while. How the Minneapolis Catholic school shooting unfolded. I'm probably going to have some information that you guys have not heard of yet. Also, Grant County deputies fired, lost their jobs after fatally injuring a rabbit, but actually it was allegedly a baby rabbit in the video. I don't know if we ever talked about this. I had it slated for the show. I don't believe that we talked about it, but the guys involved in this were fired. I don't have an issue with that. We have a driver waving a machete. Now, this is an LAPD neck of the woods here. This dude is shot and injured, not killed by LAPD. Also, we've got Bridgeport officer justified in shooting a guy that ran at police with knives, plural. And then an Illinois guy charged after causing his girlfriend's miscarriage with pills. You know, it's our second such story like that. I don't know why that's becoming a thing. Orange County deputies fatally shoot a guy armed with a knife again. So we got a lot of guys with their choice of weapon being a knife. Oklahoma City police released footage showing what led up to a deadly shooting of a rape suspect. And so before we cover all this good stuff, we've got something even better. Jeff is making a major announcement. He kind of hinted that he was going to be making these announcements on Thursday. So, Jeff, I know you signed up for the next month or so on Mondays and on Thursday. So can you catch our audience up on what's going on?
Yeah, so my book is coming out Tuesday, September 16th. And what I'm doing is I'm giving away a VIP swag box every week, and I make that announcement on Thursday on this show, who the winner is. And the way you get involved in this is you go to onthinicebook.com and you put in your email address and become part of the email list. And then you can read the prologue for free and have an opportunity to win this VIP swag box. And all you have to do is enter once. Every week you'll be eligible to win. So today, we get to announce our initial winner. And our initial winner, actually, I kind of recognize from the show here. His name's Ronald Rose from Dallas, Texas. So congratulations.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dallas,
Texas. And it will be shipped out after the release date. So again, the release date is September 16th, which is a Tuesday, and then we'll be shipping it out. My team will be getting a hold of you via your email to find out the address to send our initial VIP swag box too.
Man, you what a great way to come to the close of the week, winning that. So congratulations. I love it. All right. So we're going to be doing this again next week too. So guys, don't forget, go to onthinicebook.com in order to register, get more information. You guys are want to get your hands on the book. Again, the release date for the book is
September 16th. It's a Tuesday.
All right. Love it. All right. So very exciting stuff. So thanks, Jeff, for doing that. Appreciate it. Guys, we've got a story that we're going to cover. It was breaking news yesterday, and we did it during, you know, I found out, you know, pretty much while we're doing the live show, this thing was going on. And so I had Randy Sutton and Brett Bartlett that were kind of giving us all, you know, updates during the live show as the stuff was unwinding. But how the Minneapolis Catholic school shooting unfolded. Horrible stuff, but look, there's something that can be learned for all this stuff. And this is at, you know, the Washington, you know, journal, WSJ.com, NY, you know, New York Post.com, Tampa FP.com, Red Voice Media News.com, and CoffeeAndCovid.com. And, you know, just the news that we're getting from this thing, I'm not going to mention the name of the bad guy. He doesn't deserve that. He's 23 years old, though. He opened fire at a church adjoining the local Catholic school, killed two children, injured 17 people, according to the authorities, and the mass marked the start of the school year. So it was during the middle of a mass. What a coward. You know, and I got to admit that when I went to school, my first 6 years of school, you know, first or sixth grade, was at a church school. And then after that, seventh all the way through 12th grade, another church school, you know, that I went to. So it wasn't Catholic, it was Baptist, but that's who these targets are. It goes on to say that the shooting began just after 8:30 in the morning as the priest was wrapping up the processional and congregants, and they're finishing the opening song. And according to a father who actually attended the mass with a second grader, goes on to say that this bad guy approaches the side of the building. He fires dozens of shots through the church's windows. I heard through another account that it was stained glass windows. The suspect was armed with a rifle, a shotgun, and a pistol, and they all had been purchased, according to the article, legally. It goes on to say that Minneapolis Police Chief Brian O'Hara, he said that pieces of wood have been placed outside at least two of the doors on the side of the church where the shooter approached. Doesn't go into detail, but I'm assuming that they were door stops preventing the doors from opening from the inside out so people could escape. There was silence as the shots rang out, according to the father that was there with his child. He recalled no screaming as the kids were hiding underneath the pews and attempting to lock doors. I guess the principal was attempting to lock the doors. And he said you could hear a pin drop outside of the gunshots. And he said everybody was just dead quiet. And of the 17 people that were injured, 14 were children ages 6 to 15. Three were adult churchgoers in their 80s. Two of the children were in critical condition, but authorities expected them to survive. And our bad guy died by suicide in the rear of the church. It says a quick responding Minneapolis police officer actually entered the church and then ran towards the shooter outside. I don't know if that spurred him committing suicide or not, but the suspect was a former student at this Annunciation Catholic school. And he was, I guess, in the yearbook. His mother formerly worked at the parish office. He was a trans woman, according to court documents, who had petitioned for a name change to Robin back in 2020. It says the shooting is being investigated as an act of domestic terrorism and a hate crime against Catholics, according to the FBI director, Kash Patel. Police are still searching for a vehicle. Last I heard in this article, that they believe was used by the suspect, and they'll be conducting other searches. The shooter left writings that contain no discernible single ideology. And it goes on to say that the video is believed. Well, they said they're reviewing a video believed to be made by this guy. It includes footage of a church floor plan, cache of weapons, including the 12 gauge pump shotgun, semi-automatic AR style rifle, semi-automatic handgun, and scrawled messages on the name with the names of prominent past mass shooters. It says the Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem said that the suspect wrote for the children, "Where's your God? Kill Donald Trump" on rifle magazines. We've seen pictures of those circulating. The video showed a signed suicide note saying, "I'm not well. I am not right. Unfortunately, due to my depression, anger, and twisted mind, I want to fulfill a final act that has been in the back of my head for years." And then we get some more insight, but this one is from Attorney Jeff Childers. You hear me always talking about coffee and COVID. And this guy comes up with information that's not necessarily easy to get. It's not on all the other platforms, but He said that within hours, social media platforms, they scrubbed this guy's accounts and deleted a bunch of material that he had uploaded right before this shooting spree. But that independent investigators were faster than the platforms this time, and they got it. He said that he's going to just surmise it by saying what is known from the from his words is that he believed he had been born into the wrong body. He said that President Trump and Republicans hate trans people. His life was useless and vain. He fantasized about torturing animals. He was obsessed with other mass shooters. He was suicidal, and he was convinced that the violence would help balance the cosmic scales of justice. And it goes on from there, but we will cover the rest of this commentary in a second. Guys, it's time for our first commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we're going to be talking about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we all know we can buy our gear from a lot of different sources. And then we always have the online choice as well. And those choices are almost, you know, limitless, right? But I want to remind everybody about the importance of actually supporting the companies that support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And they have gift cards. Well, we give away a couple every week on the show. Matter of fact, we're giving away one today. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones for the new Gauls gift card at Gauls.com. And like I always say, they will become your new best friend. So if you're looking for more friends, that's a good way to do it. Hey, and, you know, I just bought a new pair of boots. They're waterproof Danner boots. And, man, I'll tell you, the selection is fantastic. I did not have to pay full price. And that is at Gauls.com. Now, Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. You know, they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product we all know by now is called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. So when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and their revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me. When it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. And make sure you watch those cool videos as well. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by former LAPD Commander Lieutenant Jeff Winninger. We're talking about the shooting at the Minneapolis Catholic School that happened yesterday. I'm not going to mention the name of the bad guy. But before we went to commercial break, I was covering some of the latest and most up-to-date information that I got from none other than Attorney Jeff Childers in Gainesville, Florida. He has the publication that's on Substack, and it's called Coffee and COVID. It's at coffeeandcovid.com. He's really spot on a lot of the stuff. I left off where he was talking about some quotes from, and he's summarizing what was going through this bad guy's head. But I was corrupted by this world, he says, and I've learned to hate what life is. And in his journal, he further explained that I don't want to do it to spread a message. I do it to please myself. I do it because I am sick. And then also, according to Attorney Jeff Childers, photos and social media comments suggest both Westman's parents cooperated with or encouraged his transition. A lot to unpack, a lot to talk about, and we still have information pouring in, right? So it's really, you know, we're just trying to stay ahead of the game, because at this point there's new stuff coming down every day and almost every hour. So Lieutenant Jeff, the floor is yours.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's quite startling here in the United States how frequently we have these types of incidents and school shootings. Since 2000, we've had 553 people killed in school shootings. And that's not to mention how many people have been injured or just exposed to the violence where their lives have been changed forever. You know, the reality is here in the United States, we have 57 times more school shootings than all other G7 countries combined. It's shocking. So you got to ask yourself, what is it about our society that causes this to occur? And you're going to have a number of people that are going to jump on firearms. They're going to say we need stricter gun control. and those sorts of things. Now, I would say this. We've had a Second Amendment for how long now? And in 1970, I think there were like 20 incidents. In 2021, there were 251. So is it the presence of firearms? Our firearms were present back in the 70s as well. We've had an unbelievable increase. And most startling has been from like 2019 to 2021, when we had COVID in between there. In 2019, there was 112 incidents. And then in 2021, the year after COVID, we had the astronomical number, 251. And these are incidents not where someone is actually killed, but it's where you have somebody that fires a gun, brandishes a gun with the purposes of causing somebody harm, or a round is fired and strikes a school building. So that's how that data is captured. But you know, it's just rather concerning. So there's things that we need to look at, because every time these occur, it doesn't matter how robust the response is, it doesn't matter how well and how courageous law enforcement responds to this and saves lives, it's still a failure, because it's a failure of law enforcement to prevent. Now, is it just law enforcement's responsibility? No, it has to be a collaborative responsibility where you have mental health involved, and you know you have to have people working together where you're looking at intelligence. And we're talking about on the break, you know, this guy's posted some unbelievably shocking evidence of what he was planning on doing and on social media. And why is it that we can find all these things within hours of an incident, but we're not identifying it beforehand where we can do some intervention and prevent? Because it's all about the prevention is what it's all about. And unfortunately, it's missed here. The reality is that four out of five school shootings, there's at least one person that knows of the intent of the shooter. And so the reality is we need to develop systems where we're able to obtain this information, because you have open source information for intelligence. That's like, you know, the internet, posts on social media, blogs, those sorts of things that may key you off to something. But you have the human aspect of intelligence, where you have family members or friends or coworkers or schoolmates, those sorts of things that feel comfortable stepping forward and giving information that can assist law enforcement so proper intervention can take place. But it's always a gut punch when you see these things occur, because we talk about the investigation, we talk about everybody's interested in what was the motivation. And the reality, Chip, is the motivation, these people, they're all cut from the same cloth. They have mental health issues. So
thank you for going there. You hinted earlier, we didn't talk before the show, but that is the one thing that we have seen change over the years, is how we treat our guys with mental health issues.
Yeah. And it's the problem is that it's not about what motivated them. It's the same thing every time. It's
that's secondary.
What can we do to prevent? Yeah. Because once these things kick off, it's tough. No matter how outstanding of a response you have, or even having armed school resource officers, you have to be in the right place at the right time to effectively prevent anything from it. It's like,
that's only if your name's not George Peterson and you work for Miami-Dade too, or Broward County. Yeah.
Yeah. So, this is a very complex issue, but it's one we just haven't made any headway on. And we're just watching the numbers year in and year out just climb.
So what do you think? We didn't talk about this really before the show. I know that I started my law enforcement career in 83, and it was just mind blowing over the next decade or two, how we changed how we dealt with mental health. And instead of, we still institutionalize them, but now it's in prison and it's not in mental health facilities. And that became clear. When I started my career, we were bankrupting people, getting the help they needed. And in some cases, even when they didn't want it, but it predominantly worked out. That doesn't happen as much today. But I know we're 10 seconds out from taking a break. We'll pick this up in just 1 second. This is our second commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection because selling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody. You know, way back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with soulless bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and their Mod 4 handguards, they hit AeroPrecisionUSA.com last year, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, and they're now being tailored for the civilian customer. And that means that you guys can start getting your hands on some of this primo stuff. And their M5 AR three-way platform, spectacular. Don't settle for less when you can have the best. AeroPrecisionUSA.com. And now we're going to be talking about Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to BlueTheGold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to BlueTheGold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up, and this is going to be next week, they're talking about anonymous tips, September the 3rd. Sign up at BlueTheGold.com today. Join thousands of your peers. Go to BlueTheGold.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by former LAPD Commander Lieutenant Jeff Wininger. We've been talking about the school shooting in Minneapolis that happened yesterday, and we had just started touching on the mental health aspect of that. Mostly Jeff and I kind of joined in at the end, but roundtabling, in his head out loud, what can we do to fix this issue? Because, the people that say it's guns, how long have we had the Second Amendment and how long have we just had, this many guns in this country? And it wasn't really around until around 2000 that things got really crazy, after COVID. And then I mentioned to off camera, I mentioned that I started my law enforcement career in 83. I think, Jeff, you said that yours was about 5 years later in 88. Was that what it was? And I noticed in my law enforcement career that things drastically changed with how we dealt with people with mental illness. And it seems that instead of, treating them and getting them the help they need by institutionalizing them, in these mental health facilities. And sometimes it was by choice. They went voluntarily. And sometimes you kind of had what we call it Baker Act here in Florida, but we would have to force them to go. For a temporary amount of time, they would have to get evaluated by a doctor and then they get released if they qualify. But all that's changed. We still institutionalize them, but now it's in prison. They don't get the help that they need. So it's hard to drive down the road. And look, Tampa's not a whacked out place, but it's really hard to drive or go anywhere without just seeing people that are obviously in need of some mental health services. And it predominantly, it seems like it happened. I don't know if it's any different in Ohio where you're at, Jeff, but when I get off the interstate and I'm getting off at an exit and I come to my first stop sign or traffic light, there's some dude having these conversations with himself at a decibel level that is far above what's necessary. And he's just having a great conversation. The only thing he's missing is padded walls, So have you experienced something similar in your career out there in LAPD?
Yeah, out in California, it's a 5150. That's the section of the Welfare and Institutions Code, which gives you the authority to institutionalize somebody. It's for a 72-hour hold, essentially. But the reality is it takes an act of God, because even if you book them in, they generally don't even stay the 72 hours. The system will release them, and they're basically have to take care of themselves. It's their mental health is going to be addressed based on their willingness to take medication, and oftentimes they're not going to voluntarily take it. So then what do we have? You have them become homeless. I know there's the argument, which comes first, the mental illness or the drug abuse. Oftentimes the mental illness comes first, and the drugs are there to try to medicate what they're suffering from a mental health standpoint. But, it just spirals downward. And then unfortunately, law enforcement has overwhelmingly been the entity responsible for dealing with this. And, you know, like you said, Chip, you know, oftentimes these people end up committing crimes and then you send them to, you know, the county jail or to state prison. And there they don't get the help they need, you know, either. And then when they're released and they're back out in the streets, that's where they end up, out on the streets, because there hasn't been any meaningful intervention to assist these people. And it's, you know, we saw quite a bit because, you know, homelessness and mental health are really closely aligned. And, you know, where are you going to find homelessness like you do in Los Angeles? It's the capital of the country. So, you know, it's something. You know, I lived downtown for a period of time, a few blocks from Skid Row. And you knew when the checks came, because that night, oh, yeah. I called it the night of the living dead. Yeah. Because everybody go out and spend it all on the drugs, and it was just absolute chaos down on the streets, and you could hear it. But it's a failure of our society in knowing how to, you know, respond to these things. And it's, you know, it's unfair to say that it's a law enforcement failure or a law enforcement problem, because it yes, in part it is, sure, but, you know, not to the extent. Law enforcement isn't the answer to everything.
So. Oh, you're right. Because when you call law enforcement, guess what? You're going to get a law enforcement response. It's not always what you want. So be careful what you ask for, you know? Yeah, I would love to see. And look, and talking about this, this gets a little sensitive because we're talking about there's been a couple transgender related shootings. And look, there's going to be reluctance by some people to identify the transgender movement with mental illness, or there being some mental illness component to it, which a lot of people believe is, including myself. So I think that would go a long way. That would put pressure on parents to make sure their children get the help that they maybe need. But maybe there needs to be more research. I was telling my wife this morning that I would love to see a research study talking about how many people have transgender, let's just say, motives. Maybe they have that curiosity when they're young, which is not abnormal from what I understand for children. But how many people that have gone through, got treatment, and there have been people that have had surgery and then gone back, had surgery to revert back to what they were originally. So I would love to see published studies, and maybe they're out there. Maybe I should do a more diligent job in searching for them. But I would love to see the data, the science, the medical statistics on people that suffer from this, and to see where they're at. Did, you know, what percentage of people did this surgery actually fix their issues, or is it truly a mental issue? I know that at birth that there are some babies that are born with sexual components or organs from both sexes. You know, there are, and sometimes there's calls that have to be made, you know, at surgery time. So there's always exceptions to these rules, and I'm not saying that I have the answer, we have the answers for everything, or that we necessarily should. But for the most part, I think that most people would, that at least the circles I run in, would say that they would identify this as a mental illness component that needs to get treated. And absent that, you're going to have these guys running around with these thoughts that are acting on these impulses and thoughts that aren't getting the help and stuff that they arguably, you know, might need.
Yeah, you know, the one thing I would say, you know, whether we want to categorize the, you know, the cross-gender type stuff to be a mental health issue or not, it's certainly manifested into some mental health issues, because it's perfectly clear based on the videos that he posted on social media and the things that the investigation has been able to reveal that this individual, as a result of his inclination to identify as a female and be transgender, caused all kinds of you know, trauma, I guess, for lack of a better word, in the individual's life, to where they felt it was, their life was meaningless, and they felt that their answer was to do something, you know, so heinous as to, right, you know, kill these innocent kids and things. So, you know, whether it's a mental health issue, relative to just the fact that that's how they feel, as far as wanting to be the opposite gender, or it's their ability or inability to deal with that within our society, where they have this outward hatred towards everybody and want to harm people as a sense to get back at people. Because, you know, look what he said, you know, kill Trump. You know, why? Because he felt that, you know, Trump isn't sensitive to the transgender community. I mean, you know, this easily could have been this guy trying to assassinate Trump as well, you know. And there's, and this isn't the only person that's out there. The reality is that, you know, we to defend and prevent things from occurring and to defend society and our children and our president, you know, people that have these types of mental health issues need to be addressed. And we can't be too sensitive to where we're afraid to intervene because people are going to say you're picking on this person. Why? Just because they're transgender. It's not. I mean, there's a much larger analysis that goes into this. And, you know, this was a bad guy or a bad gal, whatever you want to call it, regardless of, you know, his ideology or sense to be a transgender individual. So, yeah, something has to happen because the reality is we just keep seeing increased numbers, and it's shocking, and it's how numb we're becoming as a society that, yeah. You know, these things happen, and then a day or two later, we just, you know, the news cycle has changed, and we've forgotten about it, and then you just hear the exact same rhetoric the next time it happens, and with no essential change whatsoever. And it's, you know, at what point do we hold the people that knew about their problems accountable, you know? That may be the direction that these investigations need to be going.
Yeah, you probably have some transgender people out there that have their act together that are saying, please, to the other people that are ruining it for them, like, please don't put us in the spotlight. Stop doing this stupid stuff, you know? But hey, we're coming up on our next commercial break. Stick with us, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, if you're a chief or sheriff, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Go to GunLearn.com to get more info. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, joined by former LAPD Commander Lieutenant Jeff Wininger. We do have winners for the two contests, at least anyhow. So I know that on Rumble, we have Bill BC that won the Two Bells giveaway for the free $20 off the new online store that was built by Two Bells. That's at LeoRoundtable.com. And also, and it looks like it's going to be our Facebook winner, and this is for the $50 Gold gift card giveaway. That is going to be Brian Spencer. So congratulations to both of them. And I know that we're kind of wrapping up talking about the mass shooting from yesterday at the Catholic school. And I just for to put things in complete perspective, Jeff and I were talking about mental illness components and how it has changed, at least the treatment or identification of them over the years, over the decades, from our law enforcement careers, and the changes that we've seen, and just to clear things up, I even brought up that, look, there were sometimes choices are made at birth that maybe aren't necessarily the right choices, and it's put on parents and doctors to make and stuff. So we're not saying we know everything about everything. There may be some people that bona fide legitimately have issues that need to be correctly fixed physically, whether surgery or whatever. There's just some components of this that we just simply don't know. But no doubt there are people that are suffering from mental illness issues that are not getting the treatment that they need. And I'm not talking about, you know, transgenders specifically. I'm talking about just as a nation, we have a lot of people suffering from mental illness that needs to be addressed. And this individual from the shooting almost clearly has identified some mental illness. but as other shooters have, you know, all over the country. But these incidents are growing, and it would be nice to see something done to better identify them and quicker, like what Jeff talked about on social media. When you find out this guy, Albert Lee, was making postings and videos that weren't picked up on quick enough that could have helped prevent something like this, we can be doing it a little bit better, I think. Any final words on this, Jeff?
No, you've actually summed it up quite well.
All right. Well, that's the first time you've ever told me that. So thank you. And I will take that and run. And let's go to our, you know, we've got about 7 minutes here, and just kind of looking at the stories. Let me bring up, you know, I hate to cover this rabbit story, but it's the Albuquerque Journal, abqjournal.com. I don't think that we ever talked about this originally. And of course, here I am talking to a guy that probably hunts rabbits in Ohio, but Jeff Winninger, but Grant County deputies fired after fatally injuring a rabbit on video. I want to run through this quickly, maybe in like 2 or 3 minutes, so that we have time to get to the story with the video component. But we have 4 Grant County deputies were fired after video surfaced of one deputy throwing a small rabbit into a patrol vehicle. So we initially covered, well, I don't know if we actually covered the story or not, but I had set it aside to talk about it, but there was no discipline involved. Now there is. So in the video, Deputy Alejandro Gomez, he smiles to the camera while holding a rabbit. Moments later, he throws it into a vehicle. I think it was a police vehicle. You can hear a thud in the recording, according to the Grant County Sheriff's Office. And it was the sergeant and the corporal laughing hysterically on camera and stuff. So Gomez was placed on leave while the New Mexico State Police, another agency, investigated it. He ended up being charged with 4 counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon upon a peace officer. That's an interesting story. For allegedly threatening deputies with a weapon and one kind of extreme cruelty to animals, which is a 4th-degree felony, by the way. So on August the 22nd, Grant County Sheriff Raul Villanueva confirmed that all 4 men involved in the incident were fired from the department, including the deputy who reported the incident and attempted to prevent Gomez from holding the rabbit and ultimately killing it. Villanueva, the sheriff, he could not confirm if the men's termination related to the rabbit video going viral. He said that he would not be able to release further information. The video got tens of thousands of views on social media, but there was some outrage involving it. So on August the 16th of 2024, about a year ago, 2 deputies, a sergeant and a corporal, they're working overnight shift, and they come across a baby rabbit on a dirt road. And it goes on to say that they stop their vehicles in the middle of the road, and there's 4 deputies. So the deputy walks over to the rabbit, gets it off the roadway, picks it up when the rabbit didn't want to leave. And so then the sergeant pulls out a cell phone to record a 1-minute video of this interaction with the rabbit. So that was, getting this on video didn't help them any. So Gomez asked to hold the bunny, but the deputy holding it didn't want to hand it because he thought this Gomez dude might kill it. And then he finally, after the pressure, he gives it to the other deputy, who slams it against a patrol vehicle on purpose. And then one deputy ends up shooting it to put it out of its misery. So that's the way this thing goes down. All the deputies, including the guy that complained about it, got fired. It makes me wonder whether the deputy that complained had something to do with the release of the video. Obviously someone did it, got out there and went viral. But anyway, they all 4 got fired. Jeff Winninger, your commentary on this?
Well, I'm support that decision to fire them, because the reality is, people that are inclined to hurt, defenseless animals have an issue. And, that's a sign of somebody having a mental health issue. You know, you oftentimes see the interviews, right, people that commit some of these most heinous crimes. It starts with, hurting animals, yeah. Jeffrey Dahmer. To have a law enforcement officer who has to have the highest level of moral and ethical the background to do something like this is rather egregious. And this can't be mistaken for something humorous. Not okay.
So we look, before we cover stories like this, we think about it. We can easily just bring you the stories that are pro-law enforcement, make us look like, knights in shining armor, right? But we're not doing that with this one. But I say that to say this, that the system works. These guys, bad cops, identified. Whether they get their jobs back or not, or they have to go through the process, they were fired. I think that was the right move by the agency. I applaud them for doing that. And we bring this to you not to to throw a curveball on how you think about law enforcement, but hopefully you can appreciate the fact that a show like this that's pro-law enforcement is identifying bad cops, because no one hates bad cops worse than good cops. So hopefully you guys can appreciate that. Now, just under 3 minutes left, I want to talk about this driver waving a machete near Crypto Arena, which I suspect you're familiar with, Jeff, and injured by a Los Angeles police officer who shot at him. They didn't kill him. They may need to go back to the range on this one, Jeff, but it's at rumble.com. This is Butters, the channel. LA driver Gupreet Singh waves a machete near this crypto.com arena, shot and injured by LA police officers on Sunday morning. So this incident is caught on video by witnesses that are watching from a high rise. You got to love the videos. Shortly after 9 o'clock in the morning, officers respond. There's reports of an assault with a deadly weapon. LAPD said this guy's flashing a machete at people and chanting.
Give me space.
Right there. Left. Oh, fuck. Stay in the car.
Stand by.
Drop it!
Get in the car!
Stop! Truck is open. Stop or I'll fucking shoot you! Stop!
Get in! Hey, pursuit!
Pursuit. Driver.
Hey, airship, take my air, please.
He's going around.
My side.
Stand by. We're good.
Just north of Pico. Alright, just
trying
to wrap another officer.
Stand by. Crossfire, bro. Crossfire.
Got it.
North of Pico.
Go you good?
Stand by, dude. So go around the circle. Stand by. Crossfire, bro.
Fuck! Stop it, back up! Stand by!
When the police arrive, he's armed with a machete. He initially charges at the cops, and he runs back to his black Dodge Challenger. He throws like a water bottle at them from a long distance, hops in the car, drives away. There was no movement to contain this guy or anything at that point. I'll let Jeff talk about that. The man began driving in circles around officers. When they catch up with him, he ends up hitting one of the patrol cars, stops, exits the car with a machete in the hand, charges officers again. Two officers fire their weapons, critically injuring this guy, but he's still alive. He was still armed with a machete. And anyhow, they got the machete, and that's the way that ended about a minute and a half left. Lieutenant Jeff.
Yeah, Chip, when I was watching this from their initial contact with the suspect, I was looking around in the environment that they were in, and that area is heavily populated with pedestrian traffic and those sorts of things. And, you know, I saw people going by on electric scooters and pedestrians walking, and the fact that they allowed this thing to continue as long as it did, I can't think of a better opportunity for you use to your vehicle to take someone down. Right. And I don't think I wouldn't have let him leave that intersection. Because when he started walking back to his car, he had access to people everywhere. And if you can't articulate that as a as you know, an imminent threat of risk of serious bodily injury or death to the people in the area, then you probably don't quite understand the law very well. So I think that would have been a great opportunity to take him down with your car, and could have resolved this thing without having to fire rounds, because only one third of your rounds, generally and statistically speaking, hit its target. So
you're right. You know, you're right.
You got the liability you got to consider there too. So,
yeah, they although there was, you know, it's really hard to tell sometimes from dash and body cams, but there was some distance involved. But when they let him go back to the car and he's going like in the car and pulling things out, I was concerned about maybe a long gun coming out, and so I didn't see that. There was the containment, you know, I was also worried about him. There were some businesses there. I was also worried about him disappearing behind his car. Now the car is between them and the bad guy and him going into a storefront and with a machete and wreaking havoc. So, yeah, there were a lot of concerns. And you're so right. You're in a 4,000-pound vehicle that could have been used to take care of that issue. So anyhow, there's things to be learned from this. We got 25 seconds left, so we're going to wind it down. But Lieutenant Jeff Weininger, author of On Thin Ice, that's coming out. Can't wait for that book, onthinicebook.com, in case you guys want to check that out. I want to mention the Wound to Blue, thewoundtoblue.org. And guys, our sponsors, we've got Gauls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, Aero Precision, Gunlearn, Blue the Gold, My Medicare, Safeguard Recruiting, Two Bells, and FisherOrlandoBass.com. And thanks, guys, for your support. We'll look for you back tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern.